Well, welcome back, Joan. It's always a pleasure, a delight to have you here in the studio.
And I love coming to tell everybody about what's happened in the Vatican the past week.
Well, like usual, it's been a very busy week. We saw a couple of papal messages come out. We also saw the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity. So let's start with the papal message for communications, which came out on Monday.
It did, and it always, of course, comes out on the January 24th feast of our patron, the patron of journalists, and that is St. Francis de Sales. And so the message this year was truth, proclamation, authenticity in the digital age. And I found it fascinating when online to see some of the headlines that different news media organizations gave to the papal message. And I think my favorite is probably Facebook is fine, but real faces are better, says the Pope, because he really was trying to stress the wonders and the beauty and the amazing things that can come of what the digital age has given us, but you also have to be very careful because there's people who go online because they want friends, and these are like virtual. They're not real friends. People, they may never see. You may write things you wish you had not written and so forth, but he's saying really the human contact is obviously what is necessary in friendships and in relationships. And then the Pope obviously talked about the need, if we are here as Christians, those of us in the media, we are proclaiming the good news. We are proclaiming the gospel. And he said that has to be done with sensitivity, with justice and truth and sensitivity. So that you and I are out here, we are talking today, we are doing our job as Catholic members of the media. But there's people out there who use a blog or some other platform which the digital age gives us to distort truths or give opinions, to say things that may confuse people. So it's not a question of teaching. It's obviously a question of opinion. You simply have to hope that people know, listeners and readers know how to distinguish between them. Another one of the headlines kind of summarized more or less what I've been saying. Pope Benedict says Catholic bloggers must not put popularity above proclaiming the fullness of the truth. And in a nutshell, that certainly was very much a part of his message. And it's not about hits, just about hits, the Pope is saying. So you should not, in order to be popular or be the most sought after, person in the media or on the internet, you should not sacrifice, obviously, truth for that. And one headline used a very interesting word, netiquette. So network and etiquette, putting it together. But it really was all of the messages are powerful. This Pope, at the age of 83, is not an online person. I am sure he knows sites and has been brought to see certain sites, but that's not how he works. You and I use the computer to prepare our shows and all. The Holy Father loves to write by longhand. But he does give an indication of understanding very, very well the different types of media that are out there. And of course, the Vatican has its own pope2u.net page, and the Vatican website does offer a lot of possibilities for all these modern communications.
Sure. Vatican Radio is on YouTube, on Twitter.
Exactly.
So it's everywhere right now.
Exactly.
Then, of course, we had the papal message for Mission Sunday that came out on Tuesday.
Right. So we had 2 days of papal messages. Now, Mission Sunday is traditionally in October. It's usually the third Sunday of October. So this year, it'll be October 23rd. And this is the 85th World Mission Day. And what I loved in reading this message, and I made it a headline of one of my articles, the Pope asks Christians, urges them to take the gospel to everyone with the same enthusiasm as the early Christians. And sometimes we can forget, you and I, if we meet each other on the street and we've got something wonderful has happened to us or we learned something wonderful, we tell it to each other, we tell it to our friends with great excitement and enthusiasm. And have we lost what the original Christians, the early Christians had proclaiming this good news? Maybe we've lost the sense of urgency and enthusiasm, and the Pope is saying that that should be reacquired. And then he said, what is really sad is those who haven't heard this message yet, the many numbers out there to whom the gospel has not been proclaimed. But then Pope Benedict said what is even sadder is those who have heard the message, they've had it, and now they have not made it a part of their life. They no longer are interested in it. They have forgotten or abandoned it. And or they simply don't identify themselves with the church. And he finds that, and it really is, much sadder than someone who never heard the message in the first place.
And, of course, also on Tuesday, we saw the Pope celebrate Solemn Vespers in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls here in Rome. It's the feast day of the conversion of St. Paul, and it also, on January 25th, is the end of the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. So that's
exactly
a nice occasion, an ecumenical occasion, to have the different Christian churches together in one place, praying together.
All was very, very meaningful, and in his homily at the Vespers, the Pope did say, talking about the journey to unity, he said, it must be perceived as a moral imperative, a response to the specific call of the Lord. And he said, for this reason, it is very important to overcome the temptation to despondency and pessimism, which is nothing other than a lack of faith in the Holy Spirit. And pretty much as he does when this day occurs, the Vespers, when he's addressing people at the end of this week of prayer, he does talk about the fact that, yes, in recent decades, the ecumenical movement has made progress. Obviously, all of this is fostered by the grace of the Holy Spirit. But he said, we are also well aware that we're still far from the unity for which Christ prayed, the unity to which Christ calls his church, each one of us. And he said, the Pope said, this can't be realized, this unity, only at the level of organizational structures, but it's forged at a more profound level, and that is to say, confessing the faith, celebrating divine worship, and keeping the fraternal harmony of the family of God. And he said, most importantly, I think, efforts to reestablish unity among the divided Christians cannot be reduced only to recognizing our reciprocal differences and to achieving peaceful coexistence. Peaceful coexistence, of course, would simply just mean a status quo, and you have to get beyond the status quo. So this is always an important time of the year. Many guests, Lutheran delegation from Germany, there are many non-Catholic Christian delegations that do come to this meeting. So it's an important time for the Pope to meet these people face-to-face and to give a message on unity.
Now, of course, also on Wednesday, we had the general audience, and the Pope was mentioning your namesake.
God bless him. He was talking about St. Joan of Arc, and who's always been, obviously, one of my favorite people. My name is Joan Francis. I don't go by Francis, but Joan of Arc and Francis of Assisi, not a bad combination. And I did learn something interesting. I did a little bit of research, and that is to say that Benedict's predecessor, Benedict the 15th, canonized Joan of Arc in 1920. I guess I thought she'd been a saint for far more centuries. Of course, she lived in the 15th century. And he proclaimed at that ceremony, Benedict the 15th, may the whole world hear, and just as it has come to admire her brave deeds in defense of her country, may it now and henceforth venerate her, the whole world, as a most brilliantly shining light of the church triumphant. And Pope Benedict, going back to the audience, gave a wonderful summary of her life. Of course, she died very, very young, but he did call her one of the outstanding women of the Middle Ages. And in talking about her life, a time of crisis in the church and obviously in her native France, Joan felt God's call to be to a life of prayer and virginity, and also to personal engagement in the liberation of her fellow citizens. And it was only at the tender age of 17 that she began her mission among the French military forces trying to negotiate a just Christian peace. She took an active part, as we know, of course, in the siege of Orléans, and then she witnessed the coronation of Charles VII. Obviously, she was captured by her enemies, tried in an ecclesiastical court, and burned at the stake.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. She died invoking the name of Jesus, and then the Pope did note that her unjust condemnation, those are his words, was overturned 25 years later. And what he really stressed about Joan was St. Joan's spirituality was an unfailing love for Christ and in Christ for the church, and obviously for her fellow man. And he said, interestingly enough, asked at the end of his catechesis on St. Joan, he said, "May the prayers and example of St. Joan of Arc, inspire many laymen and women to devote themselves to public life in the service of God's kingdom and to encourage all of us to live to the fullest our lofty calling in Christ."
Okay, well, on that note, we'll end it there. Thanks so much, Joan, for coming in this week. We'll see you again next week.
You will indeed.
All right, bye-bye. And a very warm thanks there again to Joan Lewis, a longtime friend of Vatican Radio, and Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN.